A reading from the Reformed Pastor by Richard Baxter. Motives to awaken you pastors to your duty. Take heed to yourselves, for you have a heaven to win or lose, and souls that must be happy or miserable forever. And therefore it concerns you to begin at home, and to take heed to yourselves as well as to others. Preaching well may succeed to the salvation of others. Without the holiness of your own hearts and lives, it is at least possible, though less usual, but it is impossible that you save yourselves. And he will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? To whom he will answer, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Oh, sirs, how many men have preached Christ, and yet have perished for want of a saving interest in him? How many who are now in hell have told their people of the torments of hell and warned them to escape from it? How many have preached of the wrath of God against sinners who are now enduring it? Oh, what sadder case can there be in the world than for a man who made it his very trade and calling to proclaim salvation and to help others to heaven, yet after all to be himself shut out? Alas, that we should have so many books in our libraries which tell us a way to heaven, that we should spend so many years in reading these books and studying the doctrine of eternal life, and after all this, to miss it, that we should study so many sermons of salvation and yet fall short of it, that we should preach so many sermons of damnation and yet fall into it. And all because we preach so many sermons of Christ, while we neglected him, of the Spirit, while we resisted him, of faith, while we ourselves did not believe, of repentance and conversion, while we continued in an impenitent and unconverted state, and of a heavenly life, while we remain carnal and earthly ourselves. If we'll be divines only in tongue and title, and have not the divine image upon our souls, nor give up ourselves to the divine honor and will, no wonder if we be separated from the divine presence, and denied the fruition of God forever. Believe it, sirs, God is no respecter of persons. He saves not men for their coats or callings. A holy calling will not save an unholy man. If you stand at the door of the kingdom of grace to light others in, and will not go in yourselves, you shall knock in vain at the gates of glory that would not enter at the door of grace. You shall then find that your lamp should have had the oil of grace as well as of ministerial gifts, of holiness, as well as of doctrine, if you would have had a part in the glory which you preached. Do I need to tell you that preachers of the gospel must be judged by the gospel and stand at the same bar and be sentenced on the same terms and dealt with as severely as any other men? Can you think to be saved then by your clergy and to come off by a, well, he passed for a clergyman, when there is wanting that he believed and lived as a Christian? Alas, it will not be. No, it will not be. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves, for your own sakes, seeing you have souls to save or lose, as well as others. Take heed to yourselves, secondly, for you have a depraved nature and sinful inclinations as well as others. If innocent Adam had need of heed, and lost himself and us for want of it, how much more need have such as we? Sin dwells in us when we have preached ever so much against it. In one degree prepares the heart for another, in one sin inclines the mind to more. If one thief be in the house, he will let in the rest, because they have the same disposition and design. A spark is the beginning of a flame, and a small disease may cause a greater. A man who knows himself to be purblind should take heed to his feet. Alas, in our hearts, as well as in our ears, there is an averseness to God, a strangeness to Him, unreasonable and almost unruly passions. In us there are, at the best, the remnants of pride, unbelief, self-seeking hypocrisy, and all the most hateful, deadly sins. And does it not then concern us to take heed to ourselves? Is so much of the fire of hell yet unextinguished that was at first kindled in us? Are there so many traitors in our very hearts? And is it not necessary for us to take heed? You will scarcely let your little children go themselves while they are weak, without calling upon them to take heed of falling. And alas, how weak are those of us that seem strongest, how apt to stumble at a very straw. A smaller matter will cast us down by enticing us to folly, or kindling our passions and inordinate desires, by perverting our judgments, weakening our resolutions, cooling our zeal, and abating our diligence. Ministers are not only sons of Adam, but sinners against the grace of Christ as well as others, and so have increased their radical sin. These treacherous hearts of yours will one time or other deceive you, if you take not heed. Those sins that seem now to lie dead will revive. Your pride and worldliness and many a noisome vice will spring up that you thought had been weeded out by the roots. It is most necessary, therefore, that men of so much infirmity should take heed to themselves and be careful in the oversight of their own souls. 3, take heed to yourselves, because a tempter will more ply you with his temptations than other men. If you will be the leaders against the prince of darkness, he will spare you no further than God restrains him. He bears the greatest malice to those that are engaged to do him the greatest mischief, as he hates Christ more than any of us, because he is the general of the field, the captain of our salvation, and does more than all the world besides against his kingdom. So he hates the leaders under him more than the common soldiers. He knows what a rout he may make among them if the leaders fall before their eyes. He has long tried that way of fighting, neither against great nor small comparatively, but as smiting the shepherds, that he may scatter the flock. And so great has been his success this way, that he will continue to follow it as far as he is able. Take heed, therefore, brethren, for the enemy has a special eye upon you. You shall have his most subtle insinuations, and incessant solicitations, and violent assaults. As wise and learned as you are, take heed to yourselves, lest he outwit you. The devil is a greater scholar than you, and a nimbler disputant. He can transform himself into an angel of light to deceive. He will get within you and trip up your heels before you are aware. He will play the juggler with you undiscerned, and cheat you of your faith or innocency, and you shall not know that you have lost it. Nay, he will make you believe it is multiplied or increased. When it is lost, you shall see neither hook nor line, much less the subtle angler himself, while he is offering you his bait, and his bait shall be so fitted to your temper and disposition that he will be sure to find advantages within you and make your own principles and inclinations betray you. Whenever he ruins you, he will make you the instruments of ruin to others. Oh, what a conquest will he think he has got, if he can make a minister lazy and unfaithful, if he can tempt a minister into covetousness or scandal. He will glory against the church and say, "These are your holy preachers." See what preciseness is and where it brings them. He will glory against Jesus Christ himself and say, "These are your champions. I can make your chiefest servants abuse you. I can make the stewards of your house unfaithful." If he did so insult God upon a false surmise and tell him he could make Job curse him to his face, what will he do if he should prevail against you? And at last, he will insult as much over you that he could draw you to be false to your great trust and to blemish your holy profession and to do so much service to him that was your enemy. Oh, do not so far gratify Satan. Do not make him so much sport. Suffer him not to use you as the Philistines did Samson, first to deprive you of your strength, and then to put out your eyes, and so to make you the manner of his triumph and derision. Number 4, take heed to yourselves, because there are many eyes upon you, and there will be many to observe your falls. You cannot miscarry, but the world will ring of it. The eclipses of the sun by day are seldom without witnesses. If you take yourself for the lights of the churches, you may expect that men's eyes will be upon you. If other men may sin without observation, you cannot. And you should thankfully consider how great a mercy this is, that you have so many eyes to watch over you, and so many ready to tell you of your faults, and thus have greater helps than others, at least for restraining you from sin. Though they may do it with a malicious mind, yet you have the advantage of it. God forbid that we should prove so impudent as to do evil in the public view of all, and to sin willfully while the world is gazing on us. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk, are drunken in the night. Why, consider that you ever in the open light, even the light of your own doctrine, will expose your evil doings, while you are as light set upon a hill. Think not to lie hid. Take heed therefore to yourselves, and do your work, as those that remember that the world looks on them, and that with a quick-sighted eye of malice, ready to make the worst of all, find the smallest fault where it is, to aggravate it where they find it, to divulge it and to take advantage of it, to their own designs, and to make faults where they cannot find them. How cautiously, then, should we walk before so many ill-minded observers? Take heed to yourselves, for your sins have more heinous aggravations than other men's. It was a saying of King Alphonsus, that a great man cannot commit a small sin. Much more may we say that a learned man, or a teacher of others, cannot commit a small sin, or at least that the sin as great is committed by him, which is smaller is committed by another. One, because you are more likely than others to sin against knowledge, because you have more than they, at least you sin against more light, or means of knowledge. What? Do you not know that covetousness and pride are sins? Do you not know what it is to be unfaithful to your trust, and by negligence or self-seeking, to betray men's souls? You know your master's will, and if he will not do it, you shall be beaten with many stripes. There must needs be the more willfulness, by how much there is the more knowledge. Number 2. Your sins have more hypocrisy in them than other men's, by how much the more you have spoken against them. Oh, what a heinous thing it is in us to study how to disgrace sin to the utmost, and make it as odious in the eyes of our people as we can, and when we have done, to live in it, and secretly cherish that which we publicly disgrace. What vile hypocrisy is it to make it our daily work, cry it down, and yet to keep it, to call it publicly all naught, and privately to make it our bedfellow and companion, to bind heavy burdens on others, and not to touch them ourselves with a finger. What can you say to this in judgment? Did you think as ill of sin as you spoke, or did you not? If you did not, why would you dissimilarly speak against it? If you did, why would you keep it and commit it? Oh, bear not that badge of a hypocritical Pharisee, they say, but do not. Many a minister of the gospel will be confounded and not be able to look up by reason of this heavy charge of hypocrisy. Your sins have more perfidiousness in them than other men's, by how much the more you have engaged yourselves against them. Besides all your common engagements as Christians, you have many more as ministers. How oft have you proclaimed the evil and danger of sin, and called sinners from it? How oft have you denounced against it the terrors of the Lord? And this surely implied that you renounced it yourselves, every sermon that you preached against it, every exhortation, every confession of it in the congregation, to lay an engagement upon you to forsake it. How often, how openly have you borne witness to the odiousness and damnable nature of sin? And yet, will you entertain it, notwithstanding all these professions and testimonies of your own? Oh, what treachery is it to make such a stir against it in the pulpit, and after all to entertain it in your heart and give it the room that is due to God, and even prefer it before the glory of the saints? Take heed to yourselves, because such great works as ours require greater grace than other men's. Weaker gifts and graces may carry a man through in a more even course of life that is not liable to so great trials. Smaller strength may serve for lighter works and burdens, but if you will venture on the great undertakings of the ministry, if you will lead on the troops of Christ against Satan and his followers, if you will engage yourselves against principalities and powers, in spiritual wickednesses in high places, if you will undertake to rescue captive sinners out of the devil's paws, do not think that a heedless, careless course will accomplish so great a work as this. You must look to come off with greater shame and deeper wounds of conscience than if you had lived a common life. If you think to go through such momentous things as these with a careless soul, it is not only the work that calls for heed, but the workman also, that he may be fit for business of such weight. We have seen many men who lived as private Christians, in good reputation for parts and piety, when they took upon them either the magistracy or military employment, where the work was above their gifts, and temptations did overmatch their strength. They proved scandalous, disgraced men. And we have seen some private Christians of good esteem, who have thought too highly of their parts, and thrust themselves into the ministerial office, have proved weak and empty men, and have become greater burdens to the church than some whom we endeavor to cast out. They might have done God more service in the higher rank of private men than they do among the lowest of the ministry. If then you will venture into the midst of enemies and bear the burden and heat of the day, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves, for the honor of your Lord and Master and of his holy truth and ways lies more on you than on other men, as you may render him more service, so you may do a more disservice than others. The nearer men stand to God, the greater dishonor has he by their miscarriages, and the more will they be imputed by foolish men to God himself. The heavy judgments executed on Eli and on his house were because they kicked at his sacrifice and offering. Therefore was the sin of the young men very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord, It was that great aggravation of causing the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, which provoked God to deal more sharply with David than he would otherwise have done. If you be indeed Christians, the glory of God will be dearer to you than your lives. Take heed, therefore, what you do against it, as you would take heed what you do against your lives. Would it not wound you to the heart to hear the name and truth of God reproached for your sakes? To say, men point to you and say, there goes a covetous man, a secret tippler, a scandalous man. These are they that preach for strictness, while they themselves can live as loose as others. They condemn us by their sermons, and condemn themselves by their lives. Notwithstanding all their talk, they are as bad as we. Oh, brethren, could your hearts endure to hear men cast the dung of your iniquities in the face of the holy God, and in the face of the gospel, and of all that desire to fear the Lord? Would it not break your hearts to think that all the godly Christians about you should suffer reproach for your misdoings? Why, if one of you that is a leader of the flock should be ensnared but once into some scandalous crime, there is scarcely a man or woman that seeks diligently after their salvation within the hearing of it, but besides the grief of their hearts for your sin, are likely to have it cast in their teeth by the ungodly about them, however much they may detest it and lament it. The ungodly husband will tell his wife, and the ungodly parents will tell their children, and ungodly neighbors and fellow servants will be telling one another of it, saying, these are your godly preachers. See what comes of all your stir. What better are you than others? You're even all alike. Such words as these must all the godly in the country hear for your sakes. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Oh, take heed, brethren, of every word you speak, and of every step you tread, for you bear the ark of the Lord. You are entrusted with His honor. If you that know His will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are guides of the blind, and lights to them that are in darkness, instructors of the foolish, teachers of babes, if you should live contrary to your doctrine, and by breaking the law should dishonor God, the name of God will be blasphemed among the ignorant and ungodly through you. And you are not unacquainted with that standing decree of heaven, them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Never did man dishonor God, but it proved a greater dishonor to himself. God will find out ways enough to wipe off any stain that is cast upon him, but you will not so easily remove the shame and sorrow from yourselves. Lastly, take heed to yourselves. For the success of all your labors does very much depend upon this. God uses to fit men for great works before He employs them as His instruments in accomplishing them. Now if the work of the Lord be not soundly done upon your own hearts, how can you expect that He will bless your labors for effecting it in others? He may do it, if He please, but you have much cause to doubt whether He will.